Last night, the process we went through was one of sharing various visions of the future from a bunch of different perspectives of all the people who participated. And tonight, the subject is the title is Visioning a Shared Future, an Exercise in Consensus. A little more highly developed title than I first gave it because the concept came more highly developed to me. I wanted to go from last night where we had a whole plurality and variety and diversity of perspectives on the future to trying to do an experiment tonight of seeing if there's a possibility of putting together a kind of a shared vision in which we can all buy into, that we can all kind of agree on. And I'm not even sure if that's possible. I have to admit I've never done this. It's going to be a challenge for me to see if it'll work. But it'll be exciting, I think, to see what we can come out with. We have 1 hour's time. That's not too long. We can't do a highly developed vision. But I think we'll maybe be able to find that there's a lot of agreement on things that are probably not trivial. Sure, we can all say we'd like a peaceful world. Okay, everybody wants a peaceful world, we can agree on that. What if you start getting into the specifics of that? What does that really mean? How would you go about that? What kind of a future does that really mean? And the more specific you get, the more likely we are to diverge from one another. So we're going to have kind of an exercise in trying to put together a kind of a consensual future, a future that we can all kind of agree on. And as a practice in that, or as preparation for that, I'd like to read you a few things from a paper on the process of consensus. Some of you that have been around Holden before, or some of you that have a background in Quakerism or in some other area, maybe have worked with consensus processes before. But for some of us, it's a relatively new process. We're more used to voting on things to make a decision, and the consensus process is quite a bit different and has a very different emphasis and different outcomes very often. One major contribution of the feminist movement to current social change movements is the awareness that effective group process and meaningful personal interaction are crucial factors in developing a successful movement. This tenet of feminist philosophy has merged with the principles of a variety of nonviolent movements, such as the Quakers, in order to reinforce a basic premise: nonviolence begins at home. It begins in the ways we treat each other. Such an awareness stresses that relationships within the group cannot be separated from the accomplishment of political goals, that the processes of the group are as important, the peaceful processes of the group, the cooperative processes of the group, are as important as the goals that the group achieves. Effective group process, in fact, means valuing cooperation over competition, recognizing the contributions of each individual, and decentralizing power through a non-hierarchical organizational structure. Those three values will give you some taste of the kinds of things we'll be talking about in the evening forum, which follows this presentation, where we'll be talking about the role of women in the church and a kind of a feminist critique of society and of the way we normally do things. Consensus is a process in which no decision is finalized until everyone in the group feels comfortable with the decision and is able to implement it without resentment. That's a crucial point about the dynamics of a consensual group, that you have, if everyone feels comfortable with the decision, and no one feels on the outside or voted down or overpowered, that means the entire group is able to go about pooling energies to implement the decision. In a voting process, half the people, or up to half minus one of the people, might be excluded from the decision and be alienated by the decision and be resentful of the decision and would not lend their energies to the implementation of whatever the decision was. So there's a lot of power, potential potentially there in the consensus process. Ideally, consensus synthesizes the ideas of every member of the group into one decision. When you come into a consensus meeting, you can feel at ease because you know that your opinion is not going to be trampled on. That at any time, you can keep quiet for a long time, feeling uncomfortable but not maybe wanting to articulate your discomfort. But then you know that at any time before a decision can finally be made, your opinion is going to have to be heard and respected, and that you have the power to block a decision. That, on the one hand, sounds like it would impede the progress of a meeting or a gathering or a decision-making body, but on the other hand, it can facilitate it because you don't have to say what you're thinking all the time, necessarily. You don't have to feel that you have to defend a point of view, because you know that at any point you're not going to be overruled, that in the end you are going to be able to have your opinion be valued by the group. Obviously, it takes a certain amount of trust to carry on consensus processes. It takes a certain amount of, it works better certainly when the people involved in the group have some kind of underlying basis for reaching consensus, that they share some kind of value system in common, maybe perhaps a religious basis, or perhaps even a secular basis, as long as there's sort of something underneath that they can kind of rely on or look back on, that they can use as the resource on which to build. The skill of coming to genuine consensus decisions is a real and a hard one. It involves a willingness to change and an openness to new ideas. People must be committed not only to expressing their own feelings, but also to helping others with opposite views to express theirs as well. Because the ideal of consensus is to reach a decision that is not only acceptable to everyone, but is best for everyone, there must be a bottom line of shared beliefs about what is best for all concerned. These are the principles of unity. These basic agreements will undoubtedly not encompass all the beliefs of each individual in the group, but rather will help to define the working relationship of the members. This may vary from the specific goals of a coalition formed around a single action, or to an in-depth, ongoing process of self-definition in a small collective. Some groups that use this practice have been small communities that have existed for generations. And in any particular community, there's a building of relationships among all the people of the community. And the process can become very efficient and very speedy, very practical. Typically, when you try to use it in a group that's not used to consensus processes and used to voting and Robert's Rules of Orders and all that, it can be a very, very time-consuming process, seem very inefficient and very cumbersome. But I think it's a skill that's going to become of increasing value to learn and to practice, because the benefits are so strong, and because the level of trust that it can promote in a group is so beneficial. Whatever their scope, without these basic agreements and a willingness to work within them, consensus will never succeed. I think that's enough introduction. Yeah, that is an introduction. We'll see if we can build any kind of a consensus future. And the way I'd like to do that is to start out with anybody making some kind of a statement about the kind of a future you would like. And we'll, if it's a short statement, we'll not bother to write it on the board. We'll just all kind of evaluate it, see if we want to, if we can all accept it, or make amendments to it, or substitute something in place of it. And hoping to come to the point where we can have a statement that we can all agree upon. And if we do, then we'll write it on the board. We'll carve it in stone, so to speak, and say, okay, this represents the feelings of this entire group. And with a little luck, we might even fill the whole board with stuff that we can agree on. And that would be a process of clarifying our own vision. It's I suppose it doesn't need to be said, but I kind of will say it, that since every individual in a consensus group has the power to block a decision of the group, that gives you a lot of power. And it's power and also responsibility. It means that, in some sense, it's a power you want to use with high regard for the process of the group, with high regard and respect for other people. In other words, a consensus decision is not necessarily the same as a unanimous decision. There's a subtle distinction. Unanimous decision would mean everybody absolutely thinks it's right and agrees. Consensus decision might allow for a person to not feel quite comfortable, to express that discomfort, but to say, I'm not sufficiently uncomfortable that I'm going to block the movement of this group. In other words, to value the relationships within the group, to value the group process as high, or some, maybe even sometimes a little higher than one's own personal feelings about something. That's, for larger groups especially, that's sometimes the only way a group can proceed. But it's a danger, because it runs the risk of people being walked over, of suppressing your own feelings too much, of saying, well, golly, if I say that, everybody's going to get upset, they're not going to like me, they're going to wonder why I'm obstructing things, I think I'll just keep my mouth shut. That's not a good idea. That's not part of a proper way to achieve consensus. You can let your feelings be known, and you can say either that because these feelings are so strong and so important to me, I'm going to not abide by this decision, or I'm not going to go with the group. In that case, you've blocked the decision. Or you can say, these are my feelings, but for the sake of group harmony, I'm going to... it's not that important to me. I'm going to value instead, in this particular case, the opinions of the group, and go ahead and go along with it. And that's a choice you have to make. And it's a hard line to walk, and it runs dangers. But it's a way that you can give respect to the group, and the group can, at the same time, hear you and give respect to you. Okay, that's enough introduction. What kind of a future do you want?
Peaceful.
Okay. I want a peaceful future. I do too. You want a peaceful future, I do too. Can we all agree on that?
I do too.
Okay.
No, now, I don't agree.
You don't agree on that. Okay. What kind of a future do you want?
I want a future that supports basic beliefs that have existed for quite some time. I don't want to have a future that's subject to a lot of turmoil and strife and struggle.
Okay, that second statement, is that a translation of your statement?
How does that differ from peaceful? Yeah.
Can
I
you say?
I would say his definition is what I consider peaceful.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to sacrifice my belief simply to maintain peace.
Mm-hmm. So what he's doing is giving us kind of more specific definition of peace. That he can feel comfortable with, saying, I would like a world with minimal strife, turmoil. What words did you use?
But you said freedom to maintain the same religion, well, you didn't say religion, but the same belief. Didn't you?
Beliefs that have existed and proven and worked and are satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to overthrow them because somebody has a cuckoo idea of what else should be.
Okay. I guess I would see that as very definitely part of what the way I feel. I wouldn't want to sacrifice those things simply to try and achieve what would appear to be peace. I think those would be necessary.
Okay, I'd like to try and separate that into two questions. One, let me propose that you might want to do that. One would be to say, I would like a world peace, and then define peace in some way, and then say as a second question, second issue, I would like a world in which I did not have to sacrifice certain values, and is that okay? Is that acceptable?
Could you add that I'd like a world, a peaceful world where Christ is Lord in heart and lives, not just outward peace, but inward peace.
Okay, this is getting complicated. Let's go one step at a time here. I suspected this would happen. I think that's part of the definition of peace, so maybe we should write that down and then do some sharing of ideas with regard to what we mean by a peaceful world. For you, that's almost part of the definition of what you meant by a peaceful world, or a world lacking or with minimal conflict or strife.
I don't think that's possible.
I'm not talking about what's possible. I'm talking about what you want.
I want to expect that there will not be peace, but I can live in peace with what I have believed in the past.
Okay.
There can be no peace within ourselves nor within the world.
Well,
striving for it is ridiculous.
We need to define whether or not we're going to work on expectations of what we expect is going to happen or what we hope to happen.
Yes, that's true. And maybe I didn't make that clear. I'd like this to be a vision, a positive vision, a hopeful vision, not a expected vision necessarily. I mean, if we do an expected vision, we might get all kinds of things down here, like a future with nuclear war and a future with rampant disease and starvation. And I don't want to get into that tonight. We got into that some last night. That was enough for me for this week. So let's share an optimistic vision or a hopeful vision that we would like to be a part of, a world that we'd like to buy into, join into, be a part of, participate in.
Yeah. I think I was trying to say that not just, you know, that we're thinking in terms of not sacrificing our own beliefs, but that we'd like to have others have the peace that we have within. I mean, making it, if that could be worldwide, that would be the vision.
Okay,
our peace that we have with God in Christ.
Peaceful world. Used these words before, and outer and inner peace. I think this is greasy, or it's supposed to be. And worldwide, consume that. Okay, now let's kind of. I've written down some things that I haven't felt that I've achieved consensus on necessarily. I've written them down for trying to clarify them. Now let's see if other people have amendments to these or feel comfortable with these.
Can I amend it to a world in which we realize our interdependence on each other and live accordingly, and our utter dependence on God? So these two lines, the horizontal and the vertical.
Okay.
Which means harmony.
This is all in the way of defining peace, in a way, isn't it? Recognition or realization, interdependence.
Right.
Plus dependence on God.
I have trouble with that second one, no sacrifice of basic beliefs, unless I know what the basic beliefs are.
Well,
everyone has an idea of what basic beliefs are, not the same.
Right.
But wouldn't that be a peaceful world if everybody could maintain their own basic beliefs? That doesn't mean that we would have to inflict ours on anyone else, nor are they on us. We have to maintain our own.
Okay.
I think that we have been in Africa, and it's as Christians, I don't know if I'm saying this in the right way, but if we didn't feel that we had something really to give to other people, we would never be there. If we say, like, the Muslims are doing fine on their own, let them be. You know, we'd really be no point to be there just to give them medical help or whatever, you know, or help them with their problems, what they had to do. But if we feel, as Christians, that in Christ we have something very terrific, I mean, we have eternal life, and in John, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but on me, that if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, I think I can
identify a little bit with what you're saying, but I guess I still feel nobody can inflict Christianity on anybody else.
No.
That's the thing that they have to.
No, but you can expose them to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't go out and try to stick it down your throat.
I'm hearing sort of a concept of tolerance. I mean, you're not saying by this that everybody has to believe the same, but you're wanting a world in which you don't have to fight over beliefs. You can communicate about beliefs, you can persuade, you can share, you can encourage, but you don't want to have fights over beliefs.
You could understand and appreciate the differences and be very happy about the similarities. You know, I guess, I think probably part of with the African situation or wherever it happens to be, if we don't try to change everything in there,
not their culture.
No.
Just their, to give them the peace that we're talking about, which is only in Christ. And of course, we feel that in other religions they have that peace, the inner peace, then we wouldn't try to expose them to Christianity. Okay, maybe we're getting off the track here, but I just meant that.
I'm going to try to add something here. This one writes well when it writes, but it's as though the board is greasy in certain places.
It's not
in
the board.
Right? Oh, that's nice. Am I writing too small? I'm hoping we're going to fill the void, so I'm going to save some room. But I just added about tolerance of diversity. No sacrifice of basic beliefs, but you don't have to have everybody believe in the same. But you would like to have people with some kind of both outer and inner peace. For you, that's in Christ. You'd like to have them know about that possibility. I presume you're not going to kill them if they don't.
Oh, no. not like the Middle Ages.
Okay.
They hacked their heads off and...
So I can't write all that out, but with that understanding, are we buying into this picture? Yes. I love a world of acceptance. Oh, let's see. I'm trying to put this in this catchphrase, mutual acceptance, regardless of agreement or disagreement. And you used even stronger words than acceptance. You used love and respect.
Not necessarily respect or love.
Not necessarily.
Just that we recognize it in others and tolerate it.
So you like the word tolerate better than accept.
You've got to recognize the other people are themselves. And they have to be that way. We can't bring it all into one. Mm-hmm. It's a very diverse world, but we've got to recognize such. But we all seem to be striving for this great love aspect, which is not available in this world.
If you don't love them, you will never be able to help them or show them the love of Christ. Love, if you don't love and respect their cultures or where they are. You have to love and respect and accept them.
I say leave religion out of it. You obtain those first two objectives.
I'm sorry, my future world has to have a lot of
religion. The other man has to have
religion. The person of Christ.
Well, there's our first really clear-cut disagreement. maybe this is, we're treading on the grounds of without basic agreements, consensus will never succeed. What happens when you get to that point of seeing what seems to be a basic disagreement is you look for something still more basic. You kind of backtrack. You look for, you know that, you know, after all, you're both human beings and we're all human beings, and so you know somewhere there's agreement. There's somehow there's a prior point at which you can kind of step in and agree. It's really hard to find that when you're working in an adversarial type of situation. And it's not so hard to find it. Well, it's still hard to find it, but you can find it easier when you're working in a situation where you're trying to reach some kind of agreement, where you value the agreement. What the irony of what we're doing here tonight is that on the one hand we're saying we value diversity, we value differences of opinion, we're not going to try to make everybody the same, we're not going to homogenize the world, and yet here we're trying to reach some kind of a consensus with this little group. We're trying to say, are there things that we can agree on? Well, I hope that it's not an either-or thing. I mean, even if we filled this board with things that we agreed on, we'd still have distinctive aspects of our own life, our own interpretation, our own values, and so we'd still, I think, I hope, be valuing and appreciating the diversity of each one of us. And we'd all have maybe a little different perspectives on the kind of thing we wrote down here, slightly different definitions, or you know, but we could accept it, we could live with it, say, okay, I think I can work with you all on this basis. And that's kind of what you're after in the consensus process.
I think we could attain those first two as far as we've gone. And what we do beyond that is just complicating and confusing it. We can do these two things with or without God and recognize that that's a world condition under the ruler of this world. We put too much hope in God because he'll dump you sometime to your own disappointment. Not that you won't win the victory in the final analysis, but God has a different idea of what's going on in the world. We seem to think we want to make it our way. He thinks differently.
Right. And we find that out sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, I'd like to see a world that's more just. And I guess specifically where the wealth of the world, the food that we have, is used to feed the people of the world, and where people are employed.
Okay, I'm going to write that down, but that's extending what we've got here quite a bit. But I'm going to write it down anyway because I want to come back to it. More just, and you kind of were defining that as better distribution. I'm not defining it, but you're saying that should include
sharing the wealth and everything, wouldn't it be? Sharing the wealth and food and
social consciousness.
Sharing wealth, which means food, means resources, health care, all the things that...
I think we're dreaming about things that are not attainable in this world. We hope, we'd like to have them that way, sure, but they're not attainable under any circumstance. Look back on history and you find substantiation of those statements.
The danger of saying that something's not attainable, though, is that you don't even try for it. And I think the excitement of what's going on...
You can recognize it's futile, and you can spin around and kill yourself, but not attain your own objectives that complicate simple statements.
But if you never recognize your hope, you can't try to work toward it.
It doesn't say that you don't have hope and that you don't love God and all that, but these objectives are attainable within yourself, not as a group.
Okay, I guess that's why I wanted to agree that we were working on a dream, a hope, an articulation of what we would like the world to be, whether or not we think it's really attainable or not. I think I disagree with you a little bit. I think a lot of this is much more attainable than we think.
But individual,
right? That's not the point.
Tell
the
us
point
how.
Of whether we agree or disagree is
tell us how we can attain this.
Okay, that's what I want to get into tonight.
Yeah, I think that
you know, we're certainly not going to have a world that is full of love and that's not going to happen. I guess I don't think that, you know, the idea of love in the world is going to take place. I think there are going to be some improvement in measurable quantities, like immortality and life expectancy and, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, improvements which will come from distribution of resources.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're putting too much trust generally in the National Council of Churches, and we're going to find out that we'll be perfectly disappointed in the final analysis.
Guess we've got a National Council of Churches up here that we wouldn't agree on.
if by peaceful we mean the absence of conflict, I wouldn't dream of such a world or want such a world. Because I think conflict is growth producing.
Can't quite hear you.
Oh. I think conflict is growth producing. But so I like to maintain a notion of conflict, but with limits.
Not as far as war.
Not as far as human killing is concerned, but as far as I think so if I could agree with the hope for a peaceful world if it somehow could, and maybe that's what we're getting at in some of these other issues in terms of tolerance.
Maybe instead of peaceful, we should say a world free from war, because that would eliminate a nuclear war type situation, but would still allow for some interaction and agreement.
I think we can attain a peaceful world and still have war in some respects. Can't eliminate war. We might as well recognize that if we're mature enough to.
But we can ask to try to move in a certain direction. And that's all we're trying to do.
We're spinning our wheels if we do.
Okay, I guess I want to spin my wheels a little bit tonight. peaceful world, you're suggesting, might be so broad as to suggest to some people anyway that it would be a total lack of conflict. And we just heard that a total lack of conflict is not necessarily the world that all of us want to live in. Because conflict is growth producing. So, or, yeah, conflict-free world would be boring.
You mean the absence of it would be boring?
Yeah.
So we could say peaceful, and again, in the way of defining peaceful, not necessarily, or not, in fact, not even necessarily, but not conflict-free. No wars. Okay, that's a little weaker maybe, but can we say at least no wars? Is that the direction we'd like to move?
Destroying wars, or we'll qualify the word wars.
No killing.
No killing?
How are you going to have war without killing?
That's not possible.
The conflict, not that kind of conflict, right?
We have wars within our nature and can't do anything about it.
As nonviolence. I don't mean just wars, I mean terrorism, I mean people that are perpetrating.
Okay, that's extending
evil.
It again a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be willing to do that, but I want to see if we can at least start somewhere. Can we agree that we don't want wars, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
Trace, let's go start at the end. You want wars?
No, I don't
want. Oh, okay.
Not,
you
don't want
to. No, I'm not raising hands. I'm pointing up here. I'm going to start with.
I don't know what I am. I'm
I'm starting with no wars, and then I'm going to try and make it a little stronger than that, and see how far we can get.
Okay? I never got to vote against war before.
So can we start with no wars? We would like a world with no wars. Is that all right?
I can't agree on that.
Oh no!
Why do you want?
Okay,
war?
We'll respect your opinion in due respect to the consensus process. You want a world of wars? Is that right?
A world of wars?
Yeah.
Minor wars, small.
Small wars.
Right.
Small wars
and tribulation, you know, difficulties, differences.
Well, no, we're talking about wars. Wars in which people get killed. Are those okay?
Recognize that it is, but people will be killed. When you say war, it means killing.
Yeah. So you want some of those?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Because we've got to recognize that death is the attainable, ultimately, regardless how.
I think, you're not distinguishing between what you would like in the world and what's inevitable. I agree, death is inevitable.
I may almost
agree that war is inevitable. I'd not like to quite agree on that, but let's say I even agree with war is inevitable. But I would say I would prefer to have a world in which we did not have wars. And you don't want to agree with that? Is that right? Okay.
Could it be war in our natures? Is war to include our natures?
I think people are meaning armed conflict among nations by wars.
We have conflict between us. We have wars here between our opinions.
Oh, okay.
But there's no killing yet.
Right. So you don't like killing?
Give us 5 more minutes.
I say killing. I say a war conquering some objective of belief or opinion, not controlling people's lives.
Okay. Would you say I would not like a world in which there was a lot of killing? I'd prefer a world where there was little, very little killing.
That's more like it.
No killing.
No killing.
No, I can't agree with
that. You wouldn't prefer that.
There must be wars because that's our natures, and we can't remake our natures.
But
we were born with certain natures. You want to be angels here on Earth.
That would be nice.
That's what we hope
would be nice.
This is nonsense. It's so silly.
Well, if we didn't have any hope or dreams, we would give up. We wouldn't try to.
That doesn't mean we don't have hopes and all those things.
Don't we have to try to dream of what we would like to see as.
Or just a direction to move?
We can have hopes and others can have them without conquering the whole world with them.
Well, don't you have a dream if you're a Christian?
I don't dream like that.
Of helping others to come see what you have and to have the peace and joy that you have. I mean, if you don't. It seems to me that. You don't have it in your own heart unless you want others, if you don't want others to have it.
That's quite mixed up. I can't understand it.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
We're just doing an exercise right now.
For the sake of the exercise, I'm going to try changing the question. Instead of trying to make this a definition of what kind of a future world do we want, what if I ask it this way, what direction do we want to move? Okay?
You want now, this group to
would,
do something,
would
what
you,
are we going to do?
Would you like to move toward a world with less killing?
Yes.
Okay. Can we agree on that?
Oh,
yeah. All right.
Better use the word less than no.
Right. I didn't say no. I said less killing. Okay. We'll move toward a world with less killing. Okay. That's our first step. Now, can we take another step? How about? What else can we say as a direction? Killing.
We've articulated we want to move towards a world with more tolerance. Right?
More tolerance. We're trying to reconstruct it a little bit. Okay, we can move toward a world with less killing.
More
tolerance. Was that a possibility? More tolerance?
I didn't hear any vote on that.
We don't vote, we just express disagreement if you have any.
It's not 100%.
Oh, dear.
Is it 100%?
More
you want a world with more tolerance?
Somebody doesn't want more tolerance?
Okay, then I hear some consensus.
More justice?
Okay, let's get into the justice question then. Okay, more justice? We may have to define that. Let's leave it this way first.
Yeah.
Would you like a world that was more just?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would someone care to venture a more specific definition of what it would mean to be more just? Can we try more more equitable distribution of resources or of wealth?
No.
No.
How about a world without anyone starving from hunger?
Okay, world without starvation. No, we're moving in a direction.
No
less starvation. Less starvation.
Less starvation.
Does that mean poor? Less poor people?
Mm-hmm. No. Less people
dying. Starvation from what? Food and
right. From lack of food.
Justice, starvation from all that?
From lack of food. From not having enough.
That less starvation is too broad.
You don't buy that? You don't want a world with less starvation?
Less something, but not starvation in itself. Unless you would qualify starvation to mean all the things stated before.
Starvation, dying from hunger. Dying from lack of food.
Lack of food.
Okay, you'd like a world with more food?
More availability.
More availability.
Those that need it.
Okay, there we go. Starvation, more availability of food to those that need it. Okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say about justice, can't we say caring? More caring?
More caring?
No expectation.
Means less justice.
More caring.
More justice.
I think that sounds very good, to put more caring.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Caring is an insignificant word, really.
Can you live with it?
With the use of it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Caring for what?
People. Everybody.
People? To start with.
Thing.
I think this is fascinating because we're moving from perhaps a vision of a world of semantic illusion to more of a model of
we're moving towards a better world with
what do you say
more badness.
I see it moving from a goal to a process mm-hmm. or a vision of it, some kind of ideal to instead a direction or something that this gives more vitality to the moment. It gives you a direction you're going. You're not even sure where it's going to wind up. You just know for sure that I want to do this, but I don't know where it's going to get me to. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I don't know how far it's possible to get, but at least I know I'm going to go this direction.
Focus on the next step as opposed to some kind of an ideal.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Can you obtain more of a decision here in 10 minutes to wind up the subject satisfactorily?
6 minutes. It's going to be a challenge. I want to throw out a whole new thing, a whole new thrust. Do you want to try some things? More or less technology?
More or less technology?
Neither one. Neither one, okay. That's very good. It's a very good answer.
What do you mean by technology?
Right, okay. I'm not going to follow that one any further.
You're excusing yourself very easily.
I'm going to read some descriptions of six possible futures. And I can answer with, no, I'm going to be four of them.
Which one sounds most appealing to you, okay? These are just one sentence each. A boom future. The technologies currently being developed will create virtually unlimited resources, make perpetual economic growth possible, and enable all people to enjoy a higher standard of living than ever before.
Is that okay? Theology or
that's,
what?
That's a boom future. It's neither one. Not that. No, it's not theology. Okay, there's a brewing future. We will clean up our act. We will stabilize economic and population growth. We will move toward more equitable distribution of limited resources. Conservation will halt the depletion of non-renewable resources, and current levels of pollution will be reduced. Okay. Then that's two, broom. Three is zoom. Zoom future. Aerospace technology will enable us to colonize space and tap the resources on neighboring planets. Exploration of this new frontier will create an era of prosperity for all. Okay, that's three. And then bloom future. Development of human, psychological, and spiritual potential will result in a humane social order, just and equitable world government, peaceful conflict resolution, application of appropriate technologies, and recognition of our responsibility as custodians of the earth.